Shalom Aleichem. Welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Parshas Vaera. I'd like to touch on some of the enduring mysteries of the Parsha and some lessons that can be learned from them. One of the most mysterious things about Parshas Vaera and the Parshas that follow is Moshe Rabbeinu's repeated insistence that Klal Yisrael is leaving for 3 days. That we want to leave Mitzrayim just for 3 days. Of course, this was not so. And had Moshe Rabbeinu been negotiating from a position of weakness, we would understand they would have to say, we're going for 3 days. In fact, by the time the Makkos were up, the Mitzrayim were happy to get rid of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it's somewhat of a mystery that Moshe Rabbeinu keeps on insisting that we're leaving just for 3 days. The footnote in the Mamore Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach, Maimer Tzadik, has an extraordinary insight. The footnote brings from Rabbeinu Yonah that when somebody does an Aveira, the tikkun of the Aveira is supposed to be in the same manner as the Chet took place. For example, somebody who did an Aveira by looking at things he should not look at should have in part, as part of his tikkun weeping and crying with his eyes, so that the eye which sinned is part of the tikkun of the chet. Similarly, says Rav Hutner, Yaakov Avinu bava arma, he came with trickery against Esav, because that was Esav's nida. Esav found favor with Yitzchak through trickery. He pretended to be an erlicha from person. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu too used the trickery, used the subterfuge to be able to get the brachas. Rav Hutner explains that it's not just a way of getting the brachas. No. It's not just the manner in which to get it. Even if it could be gotten in a different way, still, since the chayt took place with the nida of arma, of trickery, so too the tikkun should take place that way. And therefore, he says that since Parai came, the arma came with trickery against Klal Yisrael, in 2 ways. Of course, Parai came with trickery in getting Klal Yisrael to fall for the work which they were forced to do. But more than that, the Chutner brings that Parai was a continuation of the Chet HaNachash, the original Chet of the serpent in Gan Eden. And as such, since the Nachash works with trickery, so too, the follow-up is something which would take place by trickery, and the tikkun would be to get out of Mitzrayim by using harama, by using some sort of a trickery. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu B'tafka used the trick, the subterfuge, of saying that I'm going after this amount of time, and as a result, that was the way they left Mitzrayim. With Rav Hutner, I understand now that in Yirmiyah we find that Parai is called Hatanin HaGadol, the great serpent. Something I didn't understand when I learned Yirmiyah. What does the Nachash have to do with Parai? However, the footnote is bringing that the Parai was actually a continuation of the chait of the Nachash, in the sense that it was a chait to Harama, and that chait to Harama is something which was followed by a Yitzias Mitzrayim in which Harama was. Now this idea is an idea mentioned in Rishayim, that in fighting the Yetzer Hara, we are supposed to use Harama. We're supposed to use trickery, you have to plan in order to be Matzliach against the Yetzer Hara. And I'll give you an example. It's extremely important that a person be Mavis Nedrit, someone go through the Parsha every week and go through it in a proper way. They go through the Parsha, which they Mikra and Echatag. Now, of course, sometimes it's hard. Now, I'll tell you a trick. If they're davening on Shabbos, you don't have enough time to do Shnei Mikra v'Echatarg. It's just not enough time. You got to get home. Tell yourself that you'll do till Shani. And sit down, do till Shani. When you get to Shani, you have to tell yourself you'll do till Shishi. And so on. Eventually, the truth will be that there's nothing more important than finishing the Parsha before you go home. Plenty of time on Shabbos. If the Yetzer Hara pulling you, you don't have to go down to the Kiddush. Go down 20 minutes later. And a person can succeed. However, you can only succeed in fooling yourself every week. You'll say, how could you fool yourself? You know what's coming. But no, this is part of your plan of Harama against the Yetzer Hara. And it's part of the original plan of Harama. You'll see, you'll be Matzliach, you can fool the Yetzer Hara on a regular basis. He's a little tricky, but you'll see. Try it. And this, therefore, is the lesson of the Neochan Aderech Shloshiyam. Let's move on to one of the other mysterious aspects of the parsha. We find in the beginning of the parsha when Moshe Rabbeinu is identified, but the parsha starts by listing all of the Bnei Reuven, all of the Bnei Shimon, the Bnei Levi, and when we get to Moshe Rabbeinu, the listing of Klal Yisrael comes to an end. And it's very strange. Rashi says we wanted to list Levi, so we started from Reuven. Why do that? We have plenty of places of Chumash. We just mentioned someone's name, Levi, and Amram, and Yitzhar, and Gaz, and Levi. And you can say Moshe, the son of him, the son of him, the son of him, all the way up, as it does all over the Chumash. The Chumash doesn't go through a long list in order to get to someone. And why here, in order to get to Moshe Rabbeinu, do we list the Yichus of Reuven, the Yichus of Shimon, and part of the Yichus of Levi? I saw a Gevalda Gevart, I don't remember the source, but the part is beautiful. A person would think that God came along, and he created a Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Mela, there was a Moshe Rabbeinu in the world. That's dumb. Really, every person has the ability to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody has the ability to be someone with extraordinary ability in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, we think we don't have the ability. We limit ourselves. The Rambam says, Yachol kol adam li'ayis eved k'maisha. Every single person can succeed in being an Eved Hashem like Moshe Rabbeinu was an Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, true, when he was born, Nismali Habayis Eira. However, that idea, that ability, that potential is there for everyone. And the Torah is Meramis to that. The Torah goes through every person in Klal Yisrael, and every family, at least in Klal Yisrael, and tells us, Reuven had children. They could have been the Moshe Rabbeinu. And Shimon had children. They could have been. And it gets to Levi, it says they could have been, until it gets to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who sees the opportunity, who sees the ability to do it. And the lesson here is that really every single person should see it that way, should see it in a sense that he can do it. He can be the person that makes the difference. The Yisrael who doesn't create ready-made leaders in Klal Yisrael. The person has to be willing to undertake, to do what has to be done. And that's the lesson in this second somewhat mysterious aspect of this parasha. The third, this is a halacha issue. In the Makom of Dan, we find in the Archaim HaKadosh that Klal Yisrael became wealthy from the Makom of Dan. Now, how so? Had Klal Yisrael become wealthy from the Makom of Dan? Because Klal Yisrael had order. The Mitzvah didn't. And here, there was a ability for Klal Yisrael to make money. How would they make money? Very simple. They would take water, sell to the Mitzvah, and it would not turn to dam. Says the Baruch Hayim HaKadosh, Klal Yisrael charged a lot of money for this water. And he says from here we have the expression damim tarti mashu. The word damim means money. It also means blood. Because here the blood that the water turned into blood, this became an opportunity to make a lot of money for Klal Yisrael. So it's a very nice idea that Klal Yisrael was able to go wealthy from the Makom down. The question is that this new price that was charged should seem to be an ister ayna. It seems to be dishonest. Just charge more money because of the circumstance. I remember seeing in Aleinu L'Shaveach in the last volume, he had the following Shaila Amaisa, an incident which took place in the year 2002, where there were rumors in Eretz Yisrael that the water supply had been contaminated by the Arab. And people were told to avoid using the water, even boiling it, and to buy bottled water. At that time, there were stores that jacked up the price of bottled water. After all, now everybody needed it. And Reb Silberstein was asked whether this was Aina. Well, perhaps now the supply and demand circumstance had changed. So maybe now things are different. This is the question that Reb Silberstein was asked. Reb Silberstein answers that it is Aina. That a person can't just charge any price. Now, naturally, if the supply and demand in the world changes, then the true price changes. However, in this case, it was just an attempt like it didn't. Of course, this is just a matter in which we can learn a halacha. The Yidden were entitled to a lot more money than that from the Mitzrim who are Mishavi them. Nevertheless, it's an interesting similarity between the Archaim HaKadosh and his Benefit Christ, Tosh Shishmama. Let me leave you with a couple of questions that I had regarding the parasha. During the Shamnu Bagadnu, we come to Pishinu Ayref, Hashanu, Shikhasnu. Shikhasnu, the word Shachais, is to be destructive. Shikhasnu, we were destructive. What do we think when we come to Shikhasnu? So we know, Rashi and Parshas Nayah says, that the Shachais Ha'aretz, that Shachas Lashon Erva of Avay Dizara, the Lashon of certain specific Avayers, Aroyos and Avay Dizara, so when we say Shikhasnu, we should be thinking of the Taich of this idea of Hashem. Excellent. And then we come to Parshas Ba'era, that the Shachis Ha'aretz Meharav, the land suffered Hashkasa because of the wild animals that were all over the place. What in the world does that the Shachis Ha'aretz Meharav have to do with Lashon Erva Ba'avet Zara? This is a Zara here. One more question. I'm learning the Parsha. It is a Rashi which I've seen many times, but suddenly I realize it's not so simple. In this parasha, we have three makas that affect the animals. Dever, where animals died. Shin, where the pasuk says that the oils affected the Adam u'behema. And, of course, Barat, where the pasuk says that humans and animals were killed. If the dever, when the animals died, the next sequence is Shin. Now Rashi is very test us if you'd ask, from where did Mitzrim have animals that would be affected by the Shin if all the animals had already died in Makas Dever? Now Rashi answers that the Dever affected only those animals that were left outside. Hayare is Dever Hashem. Yichnis es mikneyu el habot. Those who are Yorei Hashem, they took their animals inside and they were not affected. And so they were still alive to be affected by the Makkah of Shin. That's good. Well, why doesn't it bother Rashi again later in the parasha when we come to the Makkah of Barad? In the Makkah of Barad, we have again the idea that Vayacha Barad, the Cholaris Mishayim, is Kolashev Asmodem, Asmodem, Yadam Vatnehima, that the animals in the field were affected. So here, why don't we ask the same question? From where were these animals? The animals were killed in Dever. And certainly those who took their animals indoors during Dever because they didn't want them to die would have done the same thing in the Makkah of Barad. So which animals were they? Were they? This is something that's historically in Gadol. You say they bought animals from the outside. The Rashi shouldn't have asked the Kashan purchased by the Makkah of Shin. We would say they got animals from the outside. This seems to be a difficulty. But this difficulty, I will take the opportunity to wish everyone, not only the Shabbos, but the Chedesh God coming along, and I hope that the upcoming month should be a month, Chedesh Aleinu, the Chedesh, Bracha, Bracha, Chedesh, Chayim, Chayim, Shiesh, Ben, Kol, Nine, Bracha,